rip these computers. This is Lenny. How can I help you? Okay, sir. This is a very common problem with new computers. Right. Hold down Control-Alt-Delete. Great. Task Manager. That's right, sir. The Processes tab. Just a little further, sir. Click on the top of the listing where it says Image Name. That sorts them alphabetically. Now you need to scroll down a bit until you find one labeled spoolsv.exe. Click on it once, then locate the button in the lower right of the window labeled End Process.
Whoa, what happened? Uh-oh. Hey, thanks, man.
No problem, sir. Just another day of killing a zombie process.
This show is a proud member of Friends in Tech at friendsintech.com.
Good morning, folks. This is your captain speaking.
Technorama.
Remember when?
Technorama.
On this day in tech history. And now, the news.
What the chuck?
Technorama.
Welcome to Blockhead Video. Over there, in the media corner.
Technorama.
Hold my beer and watch this.
Unfasten your seatbelts to disregard all safety rules. Here, your flight crew, Chuck and Craig.
Welcome to Technorama. This is the official podcast of caffeine addicts and language challenged people.
Yes, I agree.
This is the show that takes a lighthearted look at tech, science, sci-fi, and all things geek. This is the show for June 6th, 2007. If you're the first-time listener to Technorama, thank you for joining us. If you're a returning listener, welcome back. We appreciate you giving us your time. I am stumbling through trying to be Chuck Tomasi, and with me is Craig Stepp, solid as a rock. How are you, Craig?
I'm good, and I'm podcasting in my underwear.
And we didn't need that visual. So let's move right along.
Okay.
Coming up in tonight's show, we've got the Cat Cam.
Meow.
We've got leftover Star Wars stuff and an announcement later in the show. The typical Mac user and Technorama will be teaming up soon. So you won't want to miss any of that good stuff.
When do Twin Towers activate?
On this day in tech history, for June 6, 2007. This is June 6, it's the 157th day of the year in the Gregorian calendar. There are just 208 days remaining in 2007. It was on this date in 1683 that the Ashmolean Museum in Oxford, England, opens as the world's first university museum. Also on June 6, 1833, U.S. President Andrew Jackson becomes the first president to ride a train. Eruption of Novarupta in Alaska begins on June 6, 1912. This is the second largest volcanic eruption in historic time. The Chrysler Corporation is founded by Walter Percy Chrysler on this date in 1925. And in Camden, New Jersey, United States, the first drive-in theater opens on this date in 1933. It was on this date in 1964, under a temporary order, the rocket launches at Cuxhaven, Germany are terminated, though they are never to resume. And happy birthday to the internet! It was on June 6, 1969 that the first internet connection was created when network control packets were sent from the data port of one IMP to another. Soyuz 7 launches on this date in 1971. And it was on June 6, 2002 that a near-Earth asteroid estimated at 10 meters in diameter explodes over the Mediterranean Sea between Greece and Libya. The resulting explosion is estimated to have a force of 26 kilotons, slightly more powerful than the Nagasaki atomic bomb. Happy birthday goes out on this date in 1436 to Reggio Montanus, the German mathematician. Also born on this date in 1519, Italian philosopher, physician, and botanist Andrea Cesalpino. Astronomer Godfrey Wendelin was born on this date in 1580. And physicist Carl Ferdinand Braun was born on June 6, 1850. Happy birthday also goes out on this date to mathematician Alexander Lyapunov, born on this date in 1857. And explorer Robert F. Scott was born on this date in 1868. June 6, 1906 marks the birth date of mathematician Max August Zorn. And Nobel Prize winning biochemist Edwin G. Krebs was born on this date in 1918. American astronaut David Scott turns 75 today. And Swiss physicist Heinrich Rohrer turns 74 today. Richard Smalley, the chemist, turns 64 today. And finally, the recipient of the Nobel Prize in Physiology or Medicine, Philip Allen Sharp, turns 63 today. And that's the way it was on this day in tech history for June 6, 2007.
This is Steve Holden from TechNewsRadio.com, and you're listening to Chuck and Craig of Technorama Podcast.
Welcome back. Hey, I want to check out, we had a weekly poll. We haven't had a weekly poll in a long time, and since we had 2 weeks, I thought we'd throw one out there. It's
bi-weekly now.
I was just curious, as I was looking around at all the timekeeping pieces on my computers and microwave oven and everything, it seems you can't go into any room in this house without seeing at least two or three things that tell you what time it is. And don't even go there and say, are they all in sync? Because usually they're a minute or two or three off.
Close enough for government work.
So our weekly poll was, how many clocks are within eyesight right now? And don't forget the ones on your computer if you happen to be at a computer, which would be kind of obvious if you're reading the poll.
I got one, and that is the computer.
We had over half of the, no, exactly 50% of the votes had 3 to 5 within eyeshot. Does that strike you as a little ridiculous?
Yeah, well, you know, everything's so easy to put a clock on. I mean, yeah, it's probably a little ridiculous, but like my cell phone, you know, it's got a clock on it. Actually, you know
what would be even more interesting?
What's that?
Is how many people with that many timepieces are actually wearing a watch?
Yeah, well, you know what? I don't wear a watch anymore.
I don't wear a watch either.
You know, as much as I love watches, I really love watches, but as much as I like them, there's no need for it. Plus, when I'm typing all the time, you know, the band gets in my way. I got a cell phone. Why? I wonder, since the rise of the cell phone, especially in the last, 8 years?
Yeah.
How that's affected watch sales.
It's funny you should mention that, because I was glancing at the watch counter as I walked past, what was it, Walmart or some store I was in this past week, and went, I wonder if it's time that I start wearing a watch again. Nah, because you know the pins always break that are holding on the wristband, or you know the crystal gets scratched. It's just they're more of a hassle than anything.
Well, you know, there's some cool watches out there, but I don't know. It's just the band seems to cut into my wrist, especially when I'm typing. You know, get my wrist down all the time. So, nah, I just use a cell phone.
You could get a Velcro wristband.
I do. Actually, I have a watch that with the Velcro. And sometimes I watch, especially when I go camping, I usually take it because it's on my wrist. But I don't really, you know, when I'm on vacation, depends on what we're doing. I don't really carry, you know, the cell phone around all the time on vacation, you know, but sometimes I do.
Right, right. When I'm on vacation, I don't care as much about what time it is.
Yeah.
Anyway, we are still in the throes of our Base 64 game. This is the game where we put out a few characters, and you piece together the puzzle, decode it, and tell us what the end result is, and give a listen.
All your base are belong to us.
This is week 3, and the letters are lowercase x as in X-ray, lowercase u as in unicorn, uppercase L as in Lima, uppercase X as in X-ray, and uppercase M as in Mike. Again, little x, little u, big L, big X, big M.
Big M.
That's week three. If you've been listening to the other 2 weeks, there should be two more weeks left. You'll have all the characters. We'll provide a link on how to decode all that stuff, and then you can follow along for the rest of it.
Yeah.
And entrants are capable or qualified. No. What's the word? Yeah, they're qualified to enter a drawing for a $15 iTunes Music Store gift certificate. Or you're free to barter for something else of equal or lesser value.
Because we're cheap.
Or a promo for your own show. We'll do
Did
one
I
of
say that?
Yeah.
Want to give a quick shout out to the chat room. We've got Archangel SB, Bookaroo, Captain Rootbeer, D with E. Hey, Ringmaster Greg has made it after all.
What's up, man?
We have Grant. We have JT from the Gigcast. We have Lord Cat, Mad Marv, Mark Shepard, Mike King 4023. Is that anything like Robot 2048? What was that video game?
Robotron.
That's it.
Yeah, 2043 or something
Missing
like that.
Missing Intellect, Mr. Gadgets, Ryujin, Soulblaze, and Tim Elliott.
Tim Elliott.
We have not seen Zahadoom for quite some time.
No, well, school's out pretty soon, so maybe he'll be showing back up.
And in our absence of mind the last show 2 weeks ago when we last did the birthday calendar, we forgot to cover the week we would be out.
Just the last show we've had absence of mind?
Well, that was one of them. Okay. I can say we had absence of mind on this particular topic, so I'd like to make it up and wish those people who had a birthday on the birthday calendar in the beginning of June, Anthony Gartner, who was on the 2nd, on June 4th was Leo Schrauen. And Adam Larson, Grandma Grace, are both on today, June 6th.
Mm-hmm.
Happy birthday to them. Now, Grandma Grace has 1921 next to it. Am I to believe she is 86 years old and listens to Technorama?
You're not supposed to give out the age, man.
Or is that her chat room handle?
I don't know. I don't know.
Bobby Irvin's coming up on the 8th. Tim from Australia, my mistake. Tim from Australia is on the 10th, and also on the 10th is Weber Baker, and he says, by the way, June 10th, AA, which is Alcoholics Anonymous, was also founded in 1935. It's interesting to see what you share your birthday with.
Yeah, okay.
If you want to...
Have fun with that.
Hang on, we got to play them the Cylon song, and, you know, the Cylon's red eye can bounce along.
That would be a hell of a party for your birthday.
Stand up and announce who you are.
Hey, I'm Weber. It's my birthday. See you guys.
Happy birthday, birthday, baby. Shoo-bop, shoo-bop. You know you're driving me crazy all night long. Here's a birthday wish for you from the Technorama crew. Happy birthday, birthday, baby. Shoo-bop, shoo-bop. Yeah.
All right, go back to your designated quarters.
Is this thing on?
resume your patrol.
If you want to get on the birthday calendar for Technorama, you can visit the listener birthday calendar in the wiki. We'd love to see you there. If we missed your birthday or it's not on the calendar yet, we wish you all the best for the upcoming week, or if we happen to miss you, hope you had a great day.
Yeah.
Best wishes to you. We're going to take a real quick break, and we will be back right after these messages from
us,
the other computer over there.
Call the listener line at 206-222-CHAT.
Helping to build the career you deserve. Take control of your career by listening to Career Opportunities, a twice-weekly podcast covering the challenges of building a career in the 21st century. Visit WelchWrite.com, WelchWrite.com. There you can explore over 300 shows, including exclusive interviews with workers, managers, and experts of all sorts. Subscribe to Career Opportunities today. It's free and you'll receive each new show automatically. Visit WelchWrite.com and start building the career you deserve today.
Be a part of the Friends in Tech community. Visit the FIT forums at forums.friendsintech.com.
Hacks and strange stories.
First hack up is a USB mini fridge. This thing is just large enough to hold a 12-ounce can of soda, which kind of confused me, because if they're targeting the geeks with the computers, wouldn't they want it big enough for a can of Monster?
Yeah, what's up with that?
Now, if you don't know what a Monster can is, Monster is one of these high caffeine sugar energy drinks. I love how they term those things.
Yeah, it's like 24 ounce drink or something like that, right?
And it's in an extra tall can.
Yeah
24 ounces or like 1.5 liters or some screwy so number like that.
You couldn't even fit a tall boy in here. Stinks, man.
But it does get down to, what did it say, 45 degrees Fahrenheit, which is all of
8.5 degrees centigrade. Yeah, 47 yeah. degrees. Mm-hmm.
Which is right about where you want your typical fridge to go. So, hey, maybe I could... Oh, say. I wonder how long the power on the Minty Boost would last with that baby.
Well, it takes 5 minutes. It's only 5 volts, so it should work fine. Well, I don't know, Chuck. You never hook it up to anything to find out.
Yeah. How's that work? I still have to make a stop to Radio Shack and pick up a tester thing. Maybe I'll just pull something off the shelf and test it.
Whoa. You don't have a multimeter in your house?
I do. It's an old analog kind.
So?
And that's what was scaring me, because it wasn't giving me the right readings.
Oh, hey, why don't you just take the Mini Boost into Radio Shack when they're not looking?
That's what I was just saying.
Oh, I thought you were going to buy one. Yeah. Oh, no.
All right, next story. Phil Clark has sent us a funnier-than-anything message. A link to xparrot.com. Not expatriate, but, you know, like as in Monty Python.
Sure, sure.
This is an expatriate! Is someone stealing your wireless? Have fun with it. Apparently, this guy took the time, must be on a Linux machine or something, because he went into his various dhcpd.conf file and said, I'm going to make this subnet for me and that subnet for them, and these are reservations.
Mm-hmm.
And through the magic of a few scripts and filters, he was able to take the images that were going to this website. So if somebody pulls up in your driveway and starts stealing your bandwidth, all of the images come out upside down. All the text is right side up. So imagine eBay with all the images upside down. And then he said, if you really want to have fun, change the argument on the script that inverts the pictures to blur them.
Yeah. And that's easy enough to do on a Linux box using Image Magic. But the Flickr one looks pretty good. It looks funny because everything's upside down and they're all tons.
It does look funny.
Yeah, it looks funny. And then the text, of course, is correct. So you could even go a little further and reverse the text.
I give the guy an A+ for imagination on just getting ticked off enough to take it to that extreme.
Well, you know, you could just lock down your router.
Have more fun with it. That wouldn't be any fun.
Well, you could always set it up where every page they pull up, or try to every address, every URL they try to pull up, have you know, just give some kind of some kind of philosopher's quote or something like that about stealing. something like that. Or no, code all the text into binary and just show the ones and zeros.
Next link comes to us from Scott Reynolds. He sent me a link earlier this week to lolcode.com. And yes, LOL means exactly what you think. This is apparently a project to develop some kind of scripting language. There's I don't know if this O'Reilly book on the webpage is for real or if somebody just doctored that up. But the host has a scripting language instead of, you know, hello world and pound include. If you're a programmer, you got to go here and see this. I can't even explain it. But there's statements like, I has a var. I'm in your loop. Of course, this is all written like text message stuff. I am in YR loop. Okay, and then instead of exit or return, it's K thanks, bye.
Well, you know, there is the LOL cats, which has been making its rounds around the internet, and it's like they have these pictures of cats and they caption them, just like with quotes, mm-hmm. like you're talking about, and it's kind of, some of them kind of funny, and they do the same thing with. I'm looking at the LOL bots. Anyway, it's one of those tech, you know, internet meme things. So, anyway.
Nice segue mentioning the cats, because our next link has a guy who attached a camera to his cat.
This is so cool because you kind of see what has your cat been doing, you know, all day.
In some of these pictures, he hasn't got a clue where the cat is going. It's dark.
Yeah, it's kind of dark. What's funny is there's a it starts off, it says trip begins in this unknown backyard, and, you know, and it goes on, and he tries to caption each one. And one where he comes up with another cat, and another cat, they're kind of hanging out under the car. And And actually, he sees a picture of a cat under his car in where the axle or the, you know, where the gas tank, it looks like, or is, or something like that.
Yeah, he's hanging up on the axle or the frame somewhere. Yeah,
this is so funny. Go check it out. And, you know, it had me thinking, but I don't let our cats still go outside. So all I'd see was my house.
Pretty cool stuff. We're going to do a real quick Remember When. This is an actually old Remember When. In fact, I'm going to go through it so quick, I'm not even going to play the bumper.
Okay.
But Bruce Barr has sent us a link to Best Paper Airplanes. It's at bestpaperairplanes.com. Wow, you couldn't have guessed the domain name from that, could you? Now, the reason I put this in the Remember When segment instead of in the Geek Library for reference is because it just reminded me of a younger time when I had the opportunity to try out new airplane things. And I still like making paper airplanes, especially the bizarre ones that you don't think will fly. And, you know, showing the next generation of kids. Because inevitably, like when I'm in Sunday school, someone will crinkle up their paper and make an airplane. You say, no flying planes in class, but you know, have fun outside. And then you make them an airplane and go, here, watch this. You know, don't mess with the master.
You know, I always thought the one that was cool, I remember seeing for the first time, one of those that doesn't look like it's going to fly, is when you roll it up and then you make a big circle.
The cylindrical one?
Yeah, so it's like a band almost, and it kind of comes out to a triangle, and you kind of throw the...
Yep.
Yeah, and it looks so odd, but it does actually, it can work.
It glides very well.
Mm-hmm.
So why don't they make, like, stealth bombers out of that stuff?
I'm sure the government's working on that now. No, but there's one I remember, I think it's like the Condor. It looks like it's origami. It kind of looks like the old space shuttle off the original series. You know,
that's kind of what a lot of these look like. There are a couple of origami ones in here. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure I'm talented enough to fold those things up or at least reproduce them on a regular basis without reference material.
You know what?
But they look really cool.
You know, I'm gonna try and make a couple of these and post them in our Technorama group on Flickr. Try and take a picture of them.
Oh, good idea.
Yeah. So, hey, anybody else that wants to do that, do the same. Make one and take a picture of it and stick it in the Technorama group on Flickr. And
how about you take pictures of Harrison making these airplanes?
I'll see what I can do. Yeah. Where's the glue, Dad? What? No glue. We'll see.
Another quick break, and we'll be back with the Media Corner.
Woo!
Around the world, everyone's opening the bathroom doors to expose the...
Wash your hands before every email.
Chuck DeMossi's the devil. I like it. Okay. It just feels tacked on. Have you used it, Chuck?
I'm weird. Sorry.
Go.
Go. Craig, I heard that. You were taking a drink and almost lost it. I'm going to get you sooner or later. We're going to hear me all over the microphone.
You're right.
Chuck, you owe me a new microphone. Did I ask for this?
Turn off that crap-rama
and listen to Technorama.
Welcome to Blockhead Video.
Hey, where can I find some good information about music and TV and videos and things?
Over here, in the Media Corner.
And in the Media Corner, Bruce Barr has sent us a link to the Clone Wars series preview.
Yes, it is very cool. Have you seen it?
I saw the preview, but to be honest, it was so long ago, or it seems like so long ago, because we've been gone for 2 weeks.
Yeah,
I think I saw this like three days after our last show.
Well, in internet and time, that's like a year.
I know. My brain is faded. But are they making an actual series? Like a television series?
Yeah, of course. They're making an animated one like this, and you've seen the preview for that. And they're making a live-action one, which is supposed to come out next year as well.
Kill Jar Jar.
Oh.
Yeah, he's actually the first character. Misa, but... That's the intro to the show.
Misa not in this movie?
Yeah. No, but yeah, they got a live action one coming out next. I think it's next year, and then they've got the animated one coming out next year as well. I thought it looked pretty cool. It has that flavor of the animated Clone Wars that they did a while back, but it's computer animated.
Excellent.
Yeah.
And speaking of looking great, there is a way both Bruce Barr and Michelle, a.k.a. Country Sign, sent me a link to photototext.com to render photos with text. You remember we were talking a while back about, you know, the old ASCII artwork where if you typed in all the characters right, you get a picture of the Mona Lisa?
Yeah.
I uploaded a picture of my daughter, Julie. Face shots usually work well because this thing obviously doesn't have the greatest detail. And it will render it all out with commas and at signs and, you know, all the other characters. And if you hold it back, it really looks like that. Now, the thing I noticed was it looks better on the screen because when you print it, the aspect ratio gets out of touch a little bit.
Yeah, a little bit.
But it is, you know, it's a cool tool.
Back on the Commodore 64, I remember the first time I saw art like this, I was amazed. It was a picture. Oh, wait a minute. It was a picture. And it looked very detailed. Okay.
There was one hanging up in the mainframe lab at the university in the early 80s on green bar paper. I think they actually reversed the paper to the white side so it would look better.
Yeah.
And I think that was a Mona Lisa.
Yeah. I think I've seen the Mona Lisa one, of course. Yeah, of course, the one I was talking about is the Mona Lisa. That's right. Yes.
The only thing I could think of at the time was, wow, how many punch cards did they have to type in to do that?
Punch card.
That was where my frame of reference was.
How many cassette tapes did it take to save that, man? Oh, boy. But, yeah, I always thought the ASCII art that really looked like a nice detailed picture was always amazing.
Now you can make your own with photototext.com.
Hey, they even have a Firefox extension. I guess you can just right-click on an image and send it to them.
Oh, no kidding.
Yeah, it's right there at the bottom. It says Firefox extension.
Awesome.
Extension. Anyway.
All right. Tell us what else you found, oh wise one back to the future.
Well, this one comes from JT, over at the GigCast, once again. See, somebody else's name that keeps popping up on this show. But this is the McFly project. I'm sorry, the McFly 2015 project, and it's a grassroots movement to get Nike to make available to consumers the futuristic looking sneakers seen in the 1989 movie Back to the Future Part 2. You know, the ones that buckled itself and they had the blue lights on it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
they sort of fit themselves too. It's like,
yeah, that's what I'm saying. Yeah, these people want Nike to make a version of it. And from what I understand, and there's another link where the guy's talking about it a little bit more, you can go read about it. He talks about that he got some information that they are currently producing an official commercial for the project. No, is this, I'm sorry, is this the people that are trying to promote? I'm sorry, this is the people that are trying to promote it. They're making a commercial and everything to try and get this going. So
that looks pretty cool. I also want the jacket that fits itself and blow dries you dry.
Yeah, that would be pretty cool.
Actually, get me one of those.
I was thinking that, you know, I'd rather have the jacket, I think, more than the shoes, but would you buy a pair of shoes like that?
Again, my brain is in audio clip mode, and it goes to Independence Day where Will Smith is driving the spaceship, and he says, I have got to get me one of these. If I can't find the audio clip fast enough, I'll just dig it out of my brain and recite it.
That's okay. Yeah. See, why don't you just do it that way? Now, the next link we got in the media corner, I fell out of my seat on because this is just hilarious. If you watch The Family Guy, you have to make some time and go watch this. It's like 9 minutes. I think it was 9 minutes worth of Family Guy / Star Wars mashup. And this is actually clips from the 1 hour Family Guy premiere for the new season comes up. I think it said September 7th, and it's a 1 hour Star Wars retelling, Family Guy style.
Is this kind of like the mashups where they do Planes, Trains, Automobiles and turn it into Brokeback Mountain?
No.
Are they taking odd things from Family Guy and just making it into Star Wars?
No. Let me back up. I probably misspoke when I said mashup. Family Guy is doing a 1 hour retelling of Star Wars September 7th.
Okay.
So if you watch this, you'll see that all the characters, you'll recognize the characters, and it's like Quagmire is C-3PO, and anyway, you get the idea, and you go check it out. And it's from a video camera somebody had in the audience at Celebration 4, but I found out that this is actually a 1 hour show coming out. So
kill Jar Jar.
Oh, I'm sure Jar Jar gets his.
Yorga sent us a great link today to YouTube, where all good things live.
Yes.
This is a sketch from the guy from Three Dead Trolls in a Baggie.
Yeah.
It's a sketch called Internet Help Desk, and it gives you a clue what really happens when you call a help desk for a company.
Oh, I have seen that.
Have you seen this?
I did see this, where the guy's training another guy.
No, this is different. This is a one-man show on stage.
Oh.
I did see the one where he's training the other guy, and I think there are elements of that sketch in this one.
Yeah, because
so,
I think...
good stuff.
Because I think that the video I saw actually came from them, so maybe it is a version... it's a live version of it. Okay, that's cool.
Even if you've never worked in IT or never taken a support call, you've probably been on the other end when you've had to call a tech support.
Hmm.
And
yeah,
it's funny either way. Take it from whatever perspective you can. I'm going to show this to my entire IT staff. Just, you know, it works on multiple levels. You'll laugh if you've been on one end of the call. You'll laugh if you've been on the other end of the call. You'll laugh if you're the manager of the people who are taking the calls. And you know, it's sort of like Office Space. You can
right
interpret it a whole different way.
I'll check it out then.
I love it. All right. Time for another quick break, and we'll be right back with the Geek Library and then round out the end of the show. Yes, it goes that fast.
No, it doesn't. I have something to say.
All right, we'll be back before that. Craig will jump in before the Geek Library. How's that for an itinerary?
There, much better. That's much better.
How to hack a pigeon.
Pigeons with cell phones beam air quality information to blog.
I think I heard about this a while ago. When they said cell phones, all I could think of was it gives a whole new meaning to carrier pigeons. And the crowd goes silent.
Using pigeons to carry packet data. You know, they would print out the data that was in the packet, and they would tape it to the pigeon's leg, and then they send it. And then once it got there, they would take it and put it back on the internet. Wonder what the baud rate is on that.
2 pigeons per minute.
2 BPM.
What? Technorama, home to a couple of bird brains named Chuck and Craig.
You're listening to Technorama with Chuck and Craig. Hey, these guys make me feel like I'm flying with Superman. Oh, yeah.
All right, Craig, you wanted to speak. Now's your chance. Speak!
Okay.
Good boy.
Release the vocal cords.
Anyway, I wanted to talk about this last couple weeks that I mentioned this on the voicemail show that I... Or did I? Maybe it was before. Anyway, this last couple weeks, up until last weekend, I think it started May 21st, Zoomer, the website with 3 O's, Zoomr, a photo sharing website, much like Flickr in some respects, but they have some different, has a different twist on it a little bit. However, they were going to do a site upgrade, and it was starting off as simple as that, and then it went into hardware failure, and it was like the phoenix coming out of the ashes, because it was looking horrible. Well, me and Kevin Devin were kind of hanging out in the chat room pretty much the whole time. You know, I had the IRC room, chat room going, because it was really fascinating to see how things progressed. It was all streaming through Ustream, just to see the processes of going through that. You can kind of feel for the people. It was Christopher Tate and Thomas Hawk. Thomas Hawk's a photographer around San Francisco, and just watching them work through all these troubles, talking with the users, keeping an open channel, you know, for the most part. There was a time it started to break down there, but they had a hardware failure as soon as the site went live. So a lot of people saw the new site for like 10 minutes. Mm-hmm. Well, they went down to the data center. Had a RAID controller failure, so the machine was effectively down, period. Then there was a call out, if anybody wants to help, you know, help us, we're a startup, you know, not much money to buy new equipment. Well, then some companies started stepping up. Microsoft and some other companies actually put out the word to them that we're willing to help. As it turns out, Zoho, I don't know if you're familiar with Zoho. Are you familiar with Zoho, Chuck?
No.
they're like the it's like Google Docs, but they're online web application. They got several different apps like a notebook, word processor, spreadsheet, very nice stuff. And they actually donated data center and some servers to Zoomer, which I thought was really cool to see them step up. And then Dell flew some parts in, fixed the existing server. Sun Microsystems donated or loaned them a nice big, was it a X4500 Thumper? It's got like 24 terabytes worth of drive space. It's huge. And then they had some power issues in the new data center because the new server that they had required 220 and 110. Anyway, the whole process was really fascinating, but I just thought it was a really cool thing to watch, you know, to see this in live, and it wasn't me that had to deal with it. But I just wanted to put it out there because Zoomer is a really cool site. You can put your own pictures up there. They have unlimited storage. You can sell your images too if there's some images like for stock photo, and they're going to open that up to a marketplace. But the big thing was that I thought it was really neat that Zoho stepped up, you know, and helped them out. So if you get a chance, go check out Zoho, and like I said, Sun helped them out. And anyway, it's a happy story. It launched last weekend. And everything looks pretty good. The site looks great. So go check it out. I do have a Technorama group on there, too.
You're way ahead of me.
Well, yeah. As soon as it launched, I went, what groups can I add? Oh, wait.
Yo.
So I added a Technorama group. So you can go over there and hunt for that.
Cool. We have a contribution from our good buddy JT over at the GigCast. He is back in the Technorama roundup. And we appreciate this. So let's give a listen.
All right.
Welcome to the Geek Tech Web Comic Review, where we take a look at the best in tech, geek, and sci-fi comics on the web. I'm JT Shea from the GigCast, the web comics podcast. Well, it's a new year and time for a new... what? June. Really? Damn. Anyway, it's time for a new Geek Tech Web Comic Review. Today we're upping the geek ante a bit with The Gods of Arcalon from Chuck Rolls. Back in the 80s, Chuck was involved with a Dungeons & Dragons campaign on a world created by his friend and Dungeon Master, Leonard Zakowski. A remarkably detailed world with one missing piece. Chuck wanted to play a cleric, an atheistic cleric. Seemed he didn't want his character to have to pray every 5 minutes to recharge his powers. And obviously there wasn't a god for that. So Chuck got permission to create one, and thus Ronson, the god of apathy, came to be. Chuck went on to create a whole pantheon of gods for the world of Arcalon. Doesn't get much geekier than that. It's his pantheon on which his comic series, The Gods of Arcalon, is based. In a nutshell, a group of travelers on a space cruise crash on a world that has no gods of its own. Somehow, the survivors become the gods that this world, Arcalon, needed. This is not your typical hack-and-slash dungeon crawl of a D&D-based webcomic. Though there are dragons, wizards, and taverns to visit, the stories are deep, engaging, funny, and often provide social commentary on the world we live in. So far in the first 7 issues, the focus has been mainly on the aforementioned Ronson, and his coming to grips with his new power and the loss of his wife so many years ago back on Earth. But we also have had a good look at the power struggle between these new gods and the roles they play on this world. And did I mention Ronson is also the god of alcohol? GOA is a wonderfully written, well-drawn, black-and-white book-style webcomic. It's also available in 2 print collections, Going Home, Books 1 and 2, and has been featured on Nightgeek Studios' webcomic Samplers 1 and 2. The Gods of Arcalon can be found on Drunk Duck, as well as on rmcomics.com, and it updates either 2 or 3 times a week, depending, and has been for years. I highly recommend you add Gods of Arcalon to your reading list, and the ale is on Ronson. Remember, when you think geek tech, think web comics, because what's geekier than comics, and what's more tech than putting them on the web? For weekly news, reviews, and commentary on the best comics on the web, check out The GigCast at www.thegigcast.com. This has been JT Shea for Technorama and The GigCast. Bed music provided by Beatnik Turtle at beatnikturtle.com, and procrastination provided by Battlestar Galactica, Heroes, Doctor Who, Red Dwarf, Wife, Kids, Job, and the real world in general. The GigCast and the Geek Tech Web Comic Review is a production of Nightgig Studios, where it's about your live to do. Nightgig.com. What's your gig?
All right, JT, rock on. That's great.
Yeah, it was pretty good. Yeah, I'll have to add that to my list. Hey, by the way, Chuck.
Yes, sir.
I do have one more thing to add for the Zoomer thing I was talking about.
Yes.
You'll think this is kind of funny. Some Zoomer listeners or users were in the chat room, and they were trying to help out, and they set up a wiki, you know, that way when anybody came to the chat room and said, what's going on? They could just point them over the wiki, and they could see bullet points, what's going on, and that kind of thing real quick. Well, me and Kevin Devon were off on our own talking, person to person, and I was like, Zoho has a wiki product. I was like, why don't they just set up a wiki with that?
Mm-hmm.
And so I put it in there. Before I knew it, somebody said, why aren't we using that? So mm-hmm. I copied it over. I just thought that was funny. Nobody thought to use Zoho's product.
Thank you, Captain Obvious.
All right, looking at the Geek Library real quick, we've got a whole bunch of contributions from Bruce Barr. Looks like he's back in the saddle doing his job as the chief contributor to the Geek Library. We also have contributions from Coldark. He's gotten us a picture of the Mazda Pi. Apparently somebody's got a Mazda 3, that's a car, and they added onto the back bumper where it says Mazda 3, they put on all across the tailgate, 0.14156926535, blah, blah, blah. Great stuff.
Infinity.
I credit somebody for imagination, and now I can't look at one of those Mazda 3s without thinking, they're missing a few digits. We also have a contribution from Gorbash, who points us to vixie.net. It's a free FLV converter. So he says, I'm probably behind the times of this web gem, but if not, score one for me. I didn't know about it, so...
That's pretty cool. So if you want to download some YouTube videos and take it with you.
And Bookaroo Banzai sends us a link to a how to make a really unique Star Wars cake. If you remember Jabba the Hutt, I have to say that carefully because the last intro we did...
You want to say Jabba?
I do want to say Jabba the Hutt. He had that dude playing keyboard look like a blue stuffed elephant.
What was it? Oh, Max Rebo. That's right. That was the name.
They made a cake out of that.
Oh, gosh.
So
that's pretty
I don't
fun.
Know what the edible ingredients were. It looked like most of it was made out of clay and frosting.
It looked like Play-Doh.
inside there is a real cake, and people in the blog comments were wondering how it tasted.
This Play-Doh's cake's great. So how do you like the cake?
Yeah, that's what the blue elephant guy said.
That's right.
Phil Clark sends me one of my favorites. This is to Mackenstein.com. It's the Mac Chick of the Month.
Hey, baby.
Mm-hmm. Phil writes, it almost makes me want to buy a Mac.
Almost? What would it really take?
A whack upside the head won't do it? I don't know.
You can't tell me after seeing that you do have compatibility issues.
Not even going to go there.
Ba-dum-tsh. All right.
That takes us to the end of the show. I wanted to mention before we go that the Typical Mac User and Technorama will be teaming up on June 17th. We're going to be doing a live together show on TalkShoe,
mm-hmm.
where Victor Cahiao does his Typical Mac User. We're going to back up the time a little bit to the Typical Mac User slot, and we're going to be doing what I would call, blending both shows. Victor said, I want to do something in the Technorama flavor, so we're going to get the craziness, zaniness of Technorama mixed with the information and Mac help of the Typical Mac User, combined with all of you through the magic of TalkShoe. This is going to be most interesting, and I have no idea mm-hmm. what's going to come out, it'll be great.
I'll tell you what,
nonetheless.
We'll also use this opportunity for our listener feedback. If you've got some Mac things you want us to talk about, go ahead and start sending those in as well.
Exactly. We need your help. Like that Mac Chick of the Month thing.
I'm keeping that one for myself.
Beautiful stuff in more ways than one.
I'm not going to share that link. I'm going to take it off.
I'll be in my bunk.
I'll be in my bunk.
If you want to get in contact with us, you can call us on the listener line 206-222-CHAT. Wonder if there's a way we can kind of string those into the stream somehow. There's also the email, technorama@chuckchat.com. The website, as is, always will be chuckchat.com for the forum swag, webcam, links to the show notes, birthday calendar, the whole thing. You know the mm-hmm. story. We want to give a big thank you to Mad Marv, who does an awesome job during the week of providing us with the great web content.
All hail the Marv.
Yay.
This show is a proud member of Friends in Tech. You can find out more at friendsintech.com. We're also affiliated with farpointmedia.net with a plethora of great audio content that comes from them.
Mm-hmm. And how.
The audio streaming every Sunday night is provided by Scott Reynolds. You can listen to our voicemail show as well as the regular show, this one, on Sunday nights if you happen to be around, about 8 o'clock Central Time, 9 Eastern. That's when Craig and I get out our live stuff, and you hear it before it's edited, so
yeah,
crap like That stays in.
Whatever he said.
Chatroom was provided by freenode.net. If you're getting this show the old-fashioned way, by clicking on the web's site, that's
the web.
Great and wonderful and everything. Or burning it to CD if you want to take it with you. But, you know, there is a technology called RSS that allows you to deliver it automatically for free. You can use iTunes or Juice or a number of other podcatching clients and have it delivered to you automatically for free. We'd love to help you out with that. If you want to get in touch with us, we'll take care of that and set you up so that you no longer have to do the work. Make that computer do the work for you.
Yeah. We'll hook you up with the 411, yeah.
I need Lisa to help me interpret what the heck you just said.
What the heck?
We'll get her back on the show now that school's coming to an end. She can stay up late on Sunday nights.
Yeah.
Tell a friend about Technorama, and until next time, a binary high five.
A 101.
And happy birthday to the internet! It was on June 6, 1969 that the first internet connection was created when network control protocol packets were sent from a data port on one... Blah, blah, blah. Happy birthday also goes out to... Happy birthday also goes out to mathematician Alexander Yupanov, who was born on... Happy birthday also goes out to mathematician Alexander Yupanov, also... Blah. Happy birthday also goes out to mathematician Alexander Yupanov. Oh, boy. Pfft, close. Happy birthday also goes out on this day to June 6, 1906 marks the date of mathematician. June 6, 1906 marks the date of... And Swiss physicist Heinrich Rohrer was... It turned 74 today. And Swiss physicist Heinrich Rohr turns 73 to 74. And Swiss physicist Heinrich Rohr turns... And Swiss physicist Heinrich Rohr...